we're back for another data centric.
Another data centric morning.
We're back for another data centric, the podcast, all things data centric.
You're Steve McDowell. You're Matt Kimball.
And you are our listeners.
Listener.
So
listener.
We're off the road, Matt.
Not listeners.
We're off the road. We're off the road. We're away from Las Vegas. HP discovers in our rearview mirror. We had some good podcasts. We didn't talk a lot about what happened at the conference while we were at the conference, but we talked to some
Yes, we did.
We did. Bob Moore was particularly great talking about security, and he really scared the crap out of me. I came home and unplugged everything from the internet. Except for my iPhone, which I'm
I think both Gary and Bob did a great job. The thing with Bob is he's so deeply kind of embedded in this whole cybersecurity from an industry perspective, so deeply embedded in this area. He ties it back to kind of, you know, things he has seen and experienced so well that it can be kind of scary and daunting, if you will.
Yeah, it is scary and daunting, and it gave me flashbacks. I spent a year before you joined AMD. I spent a year working on secure virtualization, almost 2 years. And he started talking about TCG and all of these things. And God,
what a terrible world it is, indeed. Yes. Are we still on security? Because it's terrible, regardless of cybersecurity. But
well, and talking about secure virtualization at AMD, they had a vulnerability. Came out this week, some researchers found, but they issued a patent pretty quick and firmware. And we're seeing a run of these chip level.
Yeah, it looks like this one was found back in February, and they got the patch out. You're right. And from reading the kind of the deeper dive on it, it sounds like even with the exploit or the vulnerability, the ability to actually take and unencrypt data was almost impossible to do, regardless, or even with the vulnerability without the patch. So I think it was a minimal kind of impact kind of thing, which is why it didn't make more noise and more news earlier.
Oh yeah, and to exploit it, you have to get your code into a VM running on one of these machines that are vulnerable, which is a hard thing in and of itself, right? Because I have AMD, I have a Ryzen part in my QNAP home lab server here, and I run a ton of virtual machines, but they're all virtual machines I put together, so I'm not exposed, right? Although I unplugged it from the internet after we talked about it.
You mean in the Bynum office of More Insights and Strategy?
All right, out in the barn lab, yes.
Hey, so what are we talking about today?
So the last time you and I really talked on a podcast, it was the kickoff day of HPE Discover, and we talked a lot about what they announced from a product perspective. We recorded that actually just before we walked into the keynote, so we didn't talk about the bigger themes, or maybe we talked about the themes that they shared with us were a lot confusing. But I think walking away from it, I came out with a couple of really clear themes. I'll just throw these out there. They were extremely clear, and they said over and over, everything is a service. And I think on the keynote, he even said within 3 years, everything, right, with a capital E. So, you know, we'll sell hardware where it's opportunistic. But really, our model is going to be, we want to provide consumption-based services on-site or in some version.
Yeah, without a doubt. It struck me how, to what you said, how bold and aggressive they were on this consumption-based, promoting consumption-based computing. Which, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm like, yay, verily, I get it. That's the way the world is going. It's the way IT has started to consume, cloud services. So I completely understand kind of the approach they're taking. And when you think about it, you know, I mean, look, in the day and age of cloud and virtualization and cloud native and microservices, you still have the average server operating at about, 30 something percent utilization. So I get it. You know, you have largely under-resourced or underutilized resources that are sitting in those racks. But they didn't say only as a service. It's everything is an alternative as a service, as a, you know, in addition to their regular offerings.
But that's a good distinction.
Some of the stuff where I kind of got twisted around, I think you and I talked about this a little bit, was the, are you getting out of the cloud game to get back into the cloud game? And when you tell me everything is a service and you can stand up partners to do, you know, to offer services on top of GreenLake, now you're talking about, you know, kind of ASP, MSP, XSP kind of business models for these channel partners. And it feels like we already went through this a few years back. So.
Well, and to some degree, mm-hmm. they're their own MSP, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you don't have to go through a partner to purchase GreenLake. And this is, and again, it is my hero Forrest Gump likes to say, right? I am not a smart man. Dell is not taking this approach. Dell's approach to this kind of consumption-based is 100% through partners and selling through MSPs. Even their Dell storage as a service they announced at Discover is, it's an MSP play. We'll stick our label on it. But we're going to sell hardware, and that's all we're going to measure. HP is kind of blending their model a little bit. I guess here's my question, right? What's their value proposition? I mean, IBM's been in this game for 15 years and making plenty of money. Mm-hmm. HPE's been in and out of it. And you know, Amazon's pushing down into the data center with Azure, and all the OEMs seem to be playing with them. So why GreenLake?
So I think if you kind of take the puzzle and you look at these two pieces that don't seem to fit together, but they actually do, look at kind of Discover in that same light, right? There are a couple things and themes that got kind of promoted over and over again, right? Number one, you talked about as a service, kind of everything as a service. Number two, I mean, I've never heard HPE so boldly proclaim how important their partners were to their survival in this world, right? And number three, they talked about how important the mid-market and small business segments of the market were too. So if I kind of put all this together, you look at that kind of mid-market that is increasingly moving away from on-prem deployment of servers into cloud services, but it's a very largely channel-driven business model. Some of it does, you know, it does tie together. Right. I mean, they're kind of, you can look at them as three separate initiatives, but they're all very tightly interrelated. Go ahead.
So this gives my
gives
my,
your
my,
channel, something, my channel to sell,
something to sell in a way. And they're the new VARs, right? The channel's the new VAR, so they can package up my online stuff with the best of breed that I'm mm-hmm. selling.
And they get to increase their margins, right? I mean, look, when you look at, you know, CDW going in a competitive bid against SHI or Connection, yeah, you're talking single digit margins on this mm-hmm. hardware, and the margins overall aren't great. So this gives a chance to increase your profit margin as well. So I see it from that perspective, and I think this is why they were clear to kind of point out the, look, you can still buy our servers and storage and networking the traditional way, but you know we're gonna start propping up these capabilities for our, you know, our indirect sales force to stay relevant and successful throughout this whole kind of go to market cycle.
Sure. The other theme I picked up on, and you hit it here, is focus on the mid-market. I heard that over and over. And one of the announcements on the HCI front, well, it's quasi-HCI, right? They introduced this new nimble mm-hmm. storage, DHCI, disaggregated. And when we had some discussions with the team that owns that, the positioning was interesting, right? We have they're saying that there's directly targeted at the mid-market. We got HCI. You got a player might outgrow the constraints of HCI, right?
Symmetrically.
Has to scale together, but symmetrically. Synergy is an extremely complex high-end product, right? So they're trying to slot this DHCI into the middle, so I get kind of composable infrastructure without, I don't want to use negative connotations, right? But without all of the overhead that comes with Synergy, right? Synergy is just too much for some of these mid-market or mid-grade commercial customers, right? So that's where they're sticking HCI. So they're delivering products specifically targeted there, right? So they're doing a good job, I think, of finding the gaps. But that was the other thing. So it was everything as a service, and let's take care of the mid-market. We're kind of the two.
Yeah, and if you think about kind of traditionally, you know, and I'm not, this is not a slight to Cisco or Lenovo or anybody else, but if you look traditionally at kind of, or at least over the last, you know, many years, HPE's biggest competitor is Dell, right? And if you think about it, HPE has always come from the enterprise down. Dell has always come from the mid-market up. And even when Dell had a very direct sales model, it was very, very strong in mid-market. And HPE wasn't as strong. It had that kind of very enterprise-y feel. I think, you know, as HPE looks at kind of greenfield opportunity or maybe brownfield opportunity, mid-market is where it's at for them. They can continue to you know, compete in enterprise, but if they really want to be competitive with Dell, they have to go to where Dell's bread and butter has traditionally been, and that's in that mid-market space.
Well, and Dell is attacking it at the high end of the market. One of the big things that Dell bought with EMC was enterprise presence. EMC is nothing if not a
go ahead.
And so they brought in. Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just going to say they brought in the best of what EMC had to offer there and kept it in terms of, you know,
how. Right. And if you think about kind of the, you know, some of the some of the narrative that's come out of Dell EMC recently, like at Dell Tech World, you know, I think you and I covered it on a previous podcast. It's almost IBM-ish in its kind of, in its voice, right? Just buy all of our stuff. No one ever got fired for buying Dell EMC.
That somebody on one of the
it kind of makes sense if they're going to tack up that way, you know, or tack up that way. It makes sense for HPE to kind of, you know, go down where they think maybe there's a soft belly and make their attack.
Yeah, for sure. And that's also, you know, what they say is behind the Nutanix relationship is we need HCI play for our channel.
Yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, I get there. I've read some criticism of kind of how HPE handled Discover, but I'm more optimistic about them than I have been over the last few quarters because of kind of this. And it's because it's like there's this awareness of what they need to do. You see the focused awareness of kind of where they think they need to go to be successful. Now, you can argue whether you agree with their strategy or not, but they were consistent. And I agree with their strategy, but they were consistent with that strategy. And everything they talked about from an announcement perspective and a vision perspective lined up to that kind of longer-term strategy, which is kind of unique in today's world.
Yeah, and I understand the frustration that some people had with Discover, but I'm with you. I don't share that frustration. This was the first Discover under new leadership, and we needed to hear a consistent message. Let's put some goalposts in the future, and this is what we're marching towards. And that's what we heard, right? Mm-hmm. They laid out their strategy. It was light on product announcements. Yeah. But then again, you know, HPE's portfolio is in pretty good shape from server through storage. They did some storage announcements to fill in some gaps and set the stage for the future. We talked about those last time. But no, I mean, this was a positioning conference. And from that perspective, it made a lot of sense. And the attendees enjoyed it. There were 1,000 sessions that were really technical. And you know, I'm reading a lot of write-ups on those to see what I missed. It's guys like us that complain.
But you're right, though. This was a positioning conference, and they did a very good job of kind of painting their vision of where they think the world is going, from cloudless to security to, you know, the whole composable converged landscape and how that all ties in. They were very articulate and clear in that positioning. excuse me. And like, you know, like you said, they didn't have a whole lot of product announcement to line up to that, but they gave a product vision. And I, quite frankly, I wouldn't trust if they had a lot of announcements that lined up to this vision, because there are so many layers to peel back to really fully comprehend kind of where this world is going. And I don't think anybody is there yet. Yeah.
Right. And the other thing I'll say about the conference, one of the things I enjoyed was the analyst relations team did a really nice job keeping us fed. Snack tables in the hallway. They had guards and up
coffee.
On the fifth floor.
And
you didn't have the right color on your badge. Right. So
but you know what they did? I love that HPE analyst relation team. I really, really do. They're rock stars. From Randy, Sandy to Sonal, they're all great. So
they really are. Yeah. And Sandy. Yeah, so right. The guys that take care of us really take care of us. So shout out to them. And the guys at the Venetian told me they're getting tired of seeing me. Thankfully being in the world this year since
Sandy. Go ahead. No, you go.
Go ahead. Let's touch briefly. We talk a lot about HCI in the last couple of earnings wrap-ups. So I don't know how much we want to go into this, but IDC released their calendar first quarter tracker actually last night as we record this.
Yeah.
And there were some crazy numbers here. I don't think the trends didn't surprise me. I think we knew, and we'll talk about these numbers in a second, but I think we knew coming down Nutanix earning, I think we knew that they were deprioritizing their hardware sale. This has been going on for a while, right? So we knew that their IDC counts branded systems, and that's going to be the Nutanix appliance. So we knew they're not trying to sell them. They said their revenue miss and guidance in their last call was because they're selling more subscriptions than hardware. So we knew that. So IDC tracks two things. They track branded HCI systems, and then HCI systems based on the owner of the software, right? So I'll just throw these high-level numbers out, Drew. So the branded systems market grew 46%, right? So this market's still on fire. The total market is like $1.8 billion, right? Pushing $2 billion. Nutanix's
which makes sense,
in
though, right?
46% market was less than 2%.
Yep.
Which makes sense because that's their strategy now.
Yeah.
That said, even with that shrinking growth, they're still the number two player and brought in a 14% share and brought in $250 million. So it's nothing to sneeze at. HPE continues to kind of slow and steady, man. You know, they're small numbers, but they're consistently hitting double-digit growth. They're at 37% this time. They're still in third place, and they still haven't cracked 5% share. Actually, they lost a little bit of share while growing revenue. But Dell continues to be the monster. They're 32% share and grew their revenue 64%. So all those Nutanix branded systems are going to Dell. And for this chart, it's worth pointing out that Dell's HCI sales aren't just vSAN.
You're right. The lion's share of that Nutanix business is going to Dell, or is it? I mean, it's hard to, for me, looking at these numbers, it's hard to say that Dell is picking up at the expense of Nutanix. It feels to me more like Dell is just continuing to crush on its trajectory.
So they are, and that Dell number on the branded systems is
correct.
A combination of VMware and Dell/Nutanix, right? So they're not. There's definitely some shift from Nutanix to vSAN, and we can talk about that. I don't know. We have time to talk about that now, but that's happening. HP is gaining, and then the rest of the market is still a big number. The rest of the market is almost $1 billion. Which is the size of the top three combined. And those are your guys like NetApp, Cisco Hyperflex.
Yeah, even Fujitsu has something. But, you know, it's funny because I was like, man, that is a really big number. Maybe it's because it's, you know, this is somewhat immature. But if you go back and you look at the server numbers, when you compare the server numbers, which is a mature, very mature market, when you combine rest of market and ODM, it comes out to about 50%. It's still a lot, you know, I mean, there's, which tells you there's still a large, even in a mature market, there's still a lot of kind of other, if you will, that kind of exists out in the world. So,
yeah, no, for sure. And then, so IDC mm-hmm. publicly releases two charts. And then if you're on their subscription, you see the deeper analysis. Their second chart is whose software is being shipped. And the rest of the market tells a little different story, right? That number goes way down, which says, and if you, and I don't want to go through the actual numbers here, but if you look at the chart, you know, there's about a $300 million delta between branded rest of market and whose software is running. And that looks to me, just eyeballing it, be pretty evenly split between VMware and Nutanix, right? That's where those dollars went. HP is holding steady because HP doesn't sell their software separately.
Help me understand this one more time, because I always have this question in my head. So, look, Nutanix goes to a subscription model, software model, and you know they make the proclamation, or they make the not proclamation, they make the kind of, or they say that this is impacting, or you know, kind of downward trended revenue because they're not realizing all that money up front anymore, but. It looks to me when you Dell still kind of, or VMware, sorry, still outgrew Nutanix, even after Nutanix has moved to a software only model. And they didn't kind of just outgrow them a little bit. They outgrew them quite a bit, right?
I think that's fair. The other thing I want to say about Nutanix and the way, so we're looking we're looking at IDC's HCI tracker, and it's not clear to me that IDC is counting a lot of the software stuff that Nutanix is doing in cloud, because that's not HCI, right? That's, I don't know how we count that. Some of it extends even beyond kind of composable infrastructure. So what we need to do is look at this, you know, $500 million revenue number that IDC is pegging on Nutanix.
Compare that against that's Nutanix's a good point argument. Too.
So that's a deeper exercise we should do. So just looking at HCI, right? Nutanix is shifting their blend away from appliances, and they're trying hard to shift their blend away from just pure HCI software versus kind of a more hybrid IT play. You know, but that's also where VMware's playing, right? VMware owns the hybrid IT space. Nutanix is the challenger there, right? VMware is the incumbent. So yes, the HCI market's growing. And more of that's going to VMware than Nutanix. So, yes, but I think both these guys.
Yeah, I would argue that I think Nutanix's play in the whole hybrid space is even a bigger challenge to it than HCI is. I mean, if you think it kind of traditional innovator's dilemma, right? I mean, they are the HCI innovator, if you will, whereas you know Dell EMC and even HP, not even but HPE and others have a stronger kind of brand and reputation in the whole hybrid world than Nutanix does.
I think that's true, but HPE is still selling a lot of VMware systems. Yeah. And, you know, we had this conversation coming out of Discover on this podcast. It's, you know, I'm not worried about 2020, but if we look out to 2022, mm-hmm. How tightly integrated is VMware and Dell? And what does that mm-hmm. mean for systems that aren't Dell that are on VMware today, right? Dell wants to move those to them.
And yeah.
They're already doing some, you know, crazy sales kind of stuff to make that happen. But long-term, you know, Nutanix is the cross-industry alternative to VMware if VMware becomes more proprietary.
That's where the real question is, right? What is, as an enterprise IT organization, what becomes your kind of de facto from a hybrid environment? What's your software stack look like? Does it begin with Nutanix or does it begin with VMware? And that's going to dictate, you're right.
Well, there's not an enterprise in the world, I won't go out on a limb and say, that's not running VMware somewhere, somehow. us. So it's going to be a hard transition. It's a hard decision for IT to make, to say VMware is not my choice here.
Yeah.
Which is why Dell's growing like gangbusters. That's what IT is saying. But at the same time, man, HPE and Lenovo and Huawei and everybody who sells servers and solutions into the data center, they're going to need a different story.
Well, and this goes back to conspiracy theorist guys like you and I, or maybe not even conspiracy, but there's the whole "there's something deeper here" kind of crowd. That's what makes that Nutanix HPE relationship that much more interesting.
I think I wrote this and I'll say it here again, right? HPE said that they're embracing Nutanix in the channel and as part of the Google Anthos offering for choice. But the customer already had that choice. The channel was already selling it. So what HPE is doing is A, validating it, and B, I lost my metaphor, but I think HPE is going to be surprised by the choice that its customers make. And maybe its executives won't be, right? Because there's a lot of religion within HPE around simplicity. And if you go on Twitter, and anytime somebody like us talks positively about Nutanix/HPE, the simplicity guys, man.
It will be. And you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's not like Nutanix wasn't being sold on HPE before that announcement a couple months ago. This is just, they just went to the altar and kind of formalized the relationship with that announcement.
Well, and certainly I think what HPE saw was that there's a lot of HP product moving with Nutanix installed through the channel. And, HP wants a bigger chunk of that market, A. And B, they want to share some of that revenue in a way maybe they're not when they're working independently. So it makes sense.
I know.
We are off for a few weeks. No conferences.
Yeah. Isn't it nice?
I'm looking at my calendar. I got nothing. I got nothing for the rest. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. I'm going up to Boston for some stuff, but my kid just turned 18, so I'm getting ready to kick him out of the house. So